Welcome to the Piping Hour. I'm your host, Stephen Rookledge, and in this time together, we'll explore new and old recordings of Kilmore and Kilbeg, the big and small music of the great Highland bagpipe, as well as enjoy some Gaelic song and listen to some various music from Celtic folk traditions. We're coming to you from the Reading studios of KKRN Bella Vista, 88.5 FM. We're streaming online at kkrn.org, and we have a free app available for streaming on the go. So we hope you stay with us for the next hour to listen to some of the best bagpipes on the wireless here on the Piping Hour. This show, we'd like to play you a reprise of an earlier program from last year that focused on the work of Dr. David Hester. David passed away suddenly on September 12th of this year. It's difficult to assess the impacts of David's work. It was unique, passionate, and thorough. He's created an excellent resource for Pibroch players for many years to come. So here's the reprise of our show with the late Dr. David Hester. We're very glad you're choosing to spend this hour with us. We have the music of a featured piper to explore this hour with David Hester, originally from California, now living on the east coast of the United States, and one of the founders of the Alt Pibroch Club with Barnaby Brown. The APC has an online presence and their webpage that makes available manuscripts written prior to 1850 available for free for players and researchers to examine. They also have a unique gallery of the pronunciation of Gaelic for these manuscripts, and all of this is cross-referenced with the commonly available Pibroch Society and Kilbury collections. The Alt Pibroch Club encourages playing of arrangements not often heard, but historically significant. Now we'll get Torin with the big music. Here's our featured piper, David Hester, playing from the Donald MacDonald collection of 1822, The Swords Lament. That was the Macmillan Bertles Grade 3 Pipe Band, and one of those pipers in the pipe corps was our featured piper, David Hester. David started out his life playing music far removed from his current focus of Pibroch. We ask him how his early life and experiences gravitated eventually towards his playing the great pipe.
I remember two things when I was 8 years old. The first was standing in line for a summer music camp and surprising my mom by saying, "I want to learn to play the violin." And the second came a couple of months later when my third grade teacher had a show and tell and featured a bagpiper from a band that her son was involved with. And I came back home and said, "I want to play the bagpipes." My poor mom, right, on one hand, the violin, on the other, the bagpipes. I don't know how she survived those years, but I kept them up both of them, all the way clear through college. The pipes were more of a hobby, because the pipe band I was a part of was just a parade band. I think they're still around, McPherson Highlanders out of the Inland Empire in California. They've been around for quite some time. We're very successful, always put on a good show, a good Burns night, very good parade band. I remember them fondly, but never really got out of the light music and mostly marching music. I think we had a couple of pipers that were dedicated to strass bass for the dancers that were associated with the organization. Thank you.
It wasn't until later when a couple of serendipitous events happened. The first was I stumbled across a section at the very back of the Queen's Own Highlanders where I saw tunes of some substantial length, and they looked to be in the structure of theme and variation, and I was intrigued by that. I didn't do anything about it, but it was interesting to see bagpipe tunes that were longer than a couple of minutes or four parts. Then later, in the summer of that year, for no good reason, I went and stumbled across an album whose cover had a pipe band marching down a palm tree lined street, which I found to be intriguing. And apparently it was a recording of some piper called Donald McPherson, who, according to the jacket, was a really good piper. I thought, okay, why not? And I listened to that, and I think it's on side two of that album where he performs a piperach. And at that moment, the chasm that had existed between my classical music side and my bagpiping was bridged.
That was a little bit of Donald McPherson playing The Big Spree from side two of the Tradition album, referred to as an inspiration by our featured piper, David Hester, who spent a little bit of his career away from piping.
So it's a strange thing about being a musician that you can't not play. I've seen a lot of people leave a lot of careers and hobbies and stuff, but there's just something about music that keeps drawing you back into it. In my 30s, I was a record producer and played in a little dark punk underground scene in San Francisco. I think it's a fascinating thing how addictive music can be.
Thank you.
was Dr. David Hester in his band from the 1980s, Threnody. They put out an album with a few other bands from San Francisco at the time called Dark City. But Dr. David Hester eventually returned to pipe music.
I do have to dabble in light music. Well, the reason I have to, quote unquote, dabble in light music is my daughter came to me about 3 or 4 years ago and said, I want to learn Scottish drumming. Okay. So she wanted to learn Scottish drumming. I was on the brink of giving up the pipes. At that time, too, Pibroch can be a very lonely enterprise. And certainly going out on the competition boards and getting hammered for doing something different was demotivating. But when she said she wanted to learn drumming, I was like, okay. So we joined a band, the Macmillan Pipe Band Organization, actually. It's out of Rockville. So she's kept me going. And I keep doing light music because she got me into a band and now I'm hooked.
Was one of our featured piper David Hester's inspirations for maintaining his light music skills. His daughter Anna L. on the snare drum playing a March Strassbane reel at a recent Burns dinner. It's only been in the last decade that the Pibroch Society has begun to embrace the veracity of historical arrangements, and only the last few years that original manuscripts or early arrangements are actually encouraged in pipe competitions. Now we asked David Hester about the organization he founded along with Barnaby Brown, the Alt Pibroch Club, and how its creation may enhance the use of early text for recital and competition performances.
There was literally nowhere else to go. I mean, there was a set tune series by William Donaldson, and the Pibroch Society was publishing some of the older manuscripts, but as far as like a place, a group of people to go and talk with about these settings and stuff like that, there just wasn't anywhere dedicated to these traditional, older, alternative style settings. And the year before, I had entered a competition where, after I finished A Sister's Lament, I was told by a judge point blank that I couldn't play that in a competition. So I knew after that event that I was feeling very alone and that I was going to run into judges who would have that perspective, and I needed to create a community. So that's when I found Barnaby Brown on the internet, and I saw some of the stuff that he was doing, which is ultra fascinating. And then, of course, Alan McDonald, who, you know, here's a two-time clasp winner who decided he's going to leave it all behind because there was no way he was only going to play pibrox in a particular style, when clearly from his Gaelic background, he heard Gaelic tune song traditions reverberating through these pieces. So I reached out to him, and the both of them came together. And when I grabbed Roddy Cannon's concordance, we worked together to gather all of the material. I ordered them, I renamed them all, I set them out on the website. I have various ways in which the materials can be explored, including tonality, range, tessitura, including tempos. And Alan and Barnaby got together and recorded the Gaelic song titles in Gaelic. Phase two became that, well, okay, this is nice. You know, it's like stuff, but I want to talk with people about that stuff. So that's where I created the Learning Living pibrox site. And there are other phases, phases such as history and imagination, where we want to get historians and archivists together to take a look at some of the anecdotal and apocryphal stories related to certain pibrox tunes, test their historicity, but more importantly, get performers thinking about how they might use these stories to make a performance and shape their performance. And there's more. I want pibrox to be less about competing and more about performing. And I want pibrox to be less about old stuff and more about a new living tradition. And so we're looking into and have started our own modern pibrox library that'll publish new compositions every year for the years ahead. So that's what the All Pibrox Club is, re-extending the tradition and finding ways to branch its roots out further and further afield from its currently constrained environments.
That was our featured piper, David Hester, playing the Kilmore piece commonly called Old Woman's Lullaby, but he played it from the Campbell Cantract, manuscripts published in Cantract in the 1790s. There seems to be more Kilmore played at the lower competition grades than at any other time in history. We asked David Hester if he sees the interest shown by more mature pipers as an improvement in the advancement of Kilmore.
You know what, Stephen, you're right to wonder about the kind of impact that lower grades and mature pipers may have upon Pibroch as they introduce these scores and settings to the judges. What it means is there is a group of people who are coming on the boards and playing whatever they damn well want to play in a style that won't fit necessarily within the modern competition style. And that means both a threat to the status quo, but more importantly, a celebration of the vitality of the future of Pibroch. That's just quite clear. I think it's exciting. It's going to mean that judges are going to have to get out of their comfort zones, that they grew up within a constrained context of learning Pibroch within a very limited style and orthodoxy, and under an orthodoxy. And that's no longer going to be the case, because I see some of the young players get curious in hearing some of the mature players and lower grade players bringing these scores. In fact, I heard grade 2 and grade 1 performers, youthful performers, pick from Donald McDonald scores, MacArthur McGregor scores, and even Campbell Cantorock scores. So this change is happening, and the judges are going to have to adjust. Now that's hard, because when a judge is confronted with something unfamiliar, like anybody who's confronted by something unfamiliar, they could feel under threat, and what they will do is push back, and sometimes push back very hard, and that's just like not pleasant to deal with. So you have to kind of develop a thick skin. But I don't think it's just the defensive posture on our part of developing a thick skin that will motivate us. I don't think that's our motivation, Stephen. I think what motivates us is that music allows you to feel and express things that no other communication medium can do. And when you stumble upon a tune or a style or a performance or an interpretation that reverberates within you, it touches you deeply. That is your motivation for playing. Why would you ever give that up just because somebody doesn't like it? That's for them. It's not for you. You are motivated to do what you want to do because it gives you pleasure. Thank you.
That was a little bit of the Kilmore piece, The Finger Lock, played by our featured piper, David Hester. And he played it from the Henny McCausland manuscript, which was the first manuscript known to write pipe music in staff notation with the grace notes included. Prior to that, pipe music was written in the vocables of Cantoract. And Dr. Hester's going to play us out this hour with The Rout of Glenfruin, also from that manuscript, with its pages watermarked from the year 1811. So we want to thank you for listening to The Piping Hour here on KKRN 88.5 FM, Bella Vista, and streamed at kkrn.org. If you'd like to help us out, give us a shout. And to finish off this hour, we asked David Hester what are his inspirations to continue to perform and compete.
As performers, all we need to do is answer this question: am I ready to share something? And the next question, did I share it as well as I had intended to? People, a critical audience, could give feedback that says, if you did this a little bit better, improve in this ways, you'd be more effective at communicating. That's fair. But ultimately, what you're looking for is that sense of, am I doing everything I can, and did I do everything I can to share with you what I feel when I play this music? That's performing. If we approach competitions as performances, then we don't have to get caught up where we rank. We only get disappointed that we didn't do as well as we wanted to do in sharing what it is that we're trying to share. Or we get excited, regardless of what the audience may have felt. We get excited that when we listen back, we go, that's exactly how I wanted to play that. And I'm glad I did. It's an exciting time for Pete Rock because it's a time of growth on everybody's parts. Audiences, performers, and those critical audiences known as judges. And I'm really glad to be here now and a part of it.
Inspiring words from Dr. David Hester. That was from the show that we aired last autumn, from his recording of his home during a dark and stormy night in Maryland. We hope that his words ring true to players, and they continue investigating diversity and interest in the music that has survived for centuries. David's passing has left a void in the momentum of pursuing new ways to interpret the old music, but we hope it doesn't stall his spread enthusiasm among players who want to pursue Pibroch, because we know he would appreciate that most of all. Shortly after his passing, I communicated with Alan McDonald, 2-time CLASP winner and a friend of our radio program. He had this to say about his friend, David Hester. I had never met anyone, Alan said, who had taken up the passion for this music in the unexpurgated style in such a way that inspired me and lifted my spirits so much. He came to me to learn and was soon meticulously examining all the old manuscripts in Cantoract and understanding it so quickly. He had an energy and spirit that affected, I believe, all around him. And this spirit and passion will, I hope, remain with me forever. He was a clever, honest, upfront, outspoken, and wonderful friend and musician. And Alan concluded, we can never replace him, but at least aspire to his dedication to the preservation of an indigenous style that releases a form of expression that he so cherished in his too short life. Wonderful words from Alan McDonald. We want to thank all of you for joining us today. And until we all have the opportunity to meet again during the next piping hour, we wish for all of you safe seas.